Matthew 18:23, it says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take an account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye have from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Now, this passage is known as the parable of the unmerciful servant. And the reason that Jesus gives this parable is because a question was asked by Peter in the preceding verses. If you look back at verse 21, it says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. So Peter was concerned with how many times he should forgive somebody who sinned against him. Now, rabbis back in those days taught that to forgive someone 3 times was sufficient. So obviously Peter here was hoping to gain the Lord's approval by revealing that he was willing to forgive people 7 times. But the Lord probably wasn't very impressed with Peter's piety. And so he tells Peter that he, instead of forgiving 7 times, he was to forgive 70 times 7. No doubt Peter wondered if he was able to forgive somebody that many times. I mean, think about this. Now, I don't want you to tell me, but if you had one person that did you wrong over and over and over and over again, I would suspect that after a while you'd say, you know, I'm not going to forgive that person anymore. But the Lord says here that we are to continually forgive them. Forgiveness has no limits. Yeah, we are to continue to forgive people. And as Christians serving the Lord, we must be willing to forgive people over and over again if that's what it takes. And by the way, 7 times 70 here does not mean just 490 times. Okay? Believe it or not, there are people today that say, you know, you're at 490 right now. Next time you messed up, there's no more forgiveness for you. Aren't you glad that the Lord didn't stop at 490? Yes. Because I guarantee you everybody in here has transgressed against the Lord more than 490 times. So if a person says, well, it says 490, you know, I tell you this, the Lord continues to forgive you. You need to continue to forgive other people. Amen? And so we're not to keep score, okay, and of the times that people have wronged us. If we live a Christ-centered life, we must be willing to forgive one another with no limits to the number of times that we forgive people. Now, this parable here really speaks of how us as Christians are to forgive. I understand that this was written in the Old Testament before the death of the testator. I understand that. I understand things were different back then. But this is teaching us about forgiveness, okay? And if there's one thing that as Christians that we have, that is the greatest thing in the entire world, and that is forgiveness of sins. And so certainly we can apply this to us today. And so when we look at this parable this morning, I want you to notice, first of all, the problem that the servant had here. Notice that after Jesus answered Peter's question there in verse 22, Jesus then gives this parable. And he uses the simple illustration to teach a profound truth in our lives. Notice, if you would, at verse 23 and 24. And I want you, when we look at this parable, I want you to think about exactly where you were before you were saved. Okay? because this is going to show you a lot about where you were and what the Lord did for you. Notice, if you would, starting at verse 23. It says, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take an account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents." So notice there that there's a reckoning that's going on. And there's a servant that was brought before him, and he owed him 10,000 talents. Now you say, well, how much was 10,000 talents? It was a tremendous amount of money. In fact, if these 10,000 talents were of gold, then this servant owed his master $11.9 billion by today's standards, according to Wolfram Alpha. That's how much it would be. If the talents were silver, then 10,000 talents would convert to $160 million today. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's a pretty large debt. Amen? And the point is this. There's no way that servant could have ever paid that back. There's no way. He owed the king the talents, but there's no way he could have paid. It would have been impossible for him to ever work for it or to obtain enough money necessary to satisfy such a debt. Let me ask you something. Wasn't that not the same condition that we found ourselves in before we were saved? That we owed a debt that we could not pay? A debt that would last for eternity. Listen, before you were saved, folks, if you had to pay for your sins, you'd have to pay for those things forever, because each sin was a sin against God, and you'd have to pay him until he dies. And God ain't dying. So you're talking about a sin debt that you couldn't work. I mean, if you worked forever for eternity, you wouldn't even come close to paying that thing off for one sin. And look how many times we've sinned before we got saved. Look how many times we've sinned since we got saved. But we owed a debt that we couldn't pay. That's the reason when people start talking about, well, you know, you got to be saved and you got to do your part. Well, your part's worthless. I mean, there's nothing you could do. What you say, well, you know, I've got to be baptized. Wait a second. If the Lord doesn't forgive you, forgive a person of his sin debt, then the rest of it is a moot point. You see what I'm saying? I mean, that would be like saying, this man here is saying, you know, King, I want you to forgive me. And the king says, okay, I'll forgive you this, but you've also got to work too. Well, then it's not forgiven. Then the debt isn't forgiven then. And so we owed something that we could not pay. And there was no way that we could possibly buy our salvation. And that's what somebody is trying to do when they're trying to work for it. They're trying to buy their salvation, and we can't do that. We stood condemned before God because of the debt we owed. Now, I want you to notice this enormous debt. I want you to keep this enormous debt in mind as we move through these verses. Look, if you would, at verse 25. It says, "But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made." And so when it was revealed here that the servant owed 10,000 talents, the king commanded his servant and his wife and his children, all he had, sold to pay the debt. The servant stood accountable for the debt that he owed. And listen, if the king doesn't step in here, he would have to pay it. Amen? Now, again, keep in mind about where we were before we were saved. If the Lord didn't step in, every one of us would have to pay that debt. Every one of us would. Why? Because we're held accountable. Hey, listen, it wasn't the king's fault that this man had the debt. It was this man's fault that he had the debt. It was his own fault. And so he was held accountable for the debt that he owed. And if, like I said, if the king hadn't stepped in, he would have had to pay it. And if the Lord hadn't stepped in, if the Lord hadn't died on the cross, we'd have had to pay ours too. How many of you see that? Okay? And so he stood accountable. And so his home, his land, his possessions were all going to be sold to go towards the debt. And he faced bondage. He faced a life of despair as long as he lived. And that's where we were before we were saved. We were bound in sin, separated from God because of the debt that we owed. And we would never be able to settle the debt we owed by simply being a bond slave to sin. And as long as we were in bondage, as long as we lived, the debt would remain. We were hopeless before we were saved. Now look at verse 26. It says, "The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. So upon hearing the news of his upcoming bondage, saying he's going to be sold into slavery and he's going to be put in jail, and this servant, he humbled himself before the king. He fell on his face. He worshiped, begging for patience and mercy. And that really, because there's nothing else he could do. There's nothing else he could do except pray and say, Lord, give me mercy. That's all he could do. Because after all, where could he possibly come up with the money? There's no way. He did the only thing he could, and that was he pleaded for mercy. And remember, again, it's not the king's fault this man had the debt. The king owed this man nothing. Nothing. When this man was pleading for mercy, this man deserved, you know what this man deserved? He deserved to have to pay off his debt. How many of you, I know this is going to be a little bit tricky today, but you know, we live in a country to where, you know, some people think that they can get in debt and then they don't have to pay it back. Do you realize that? Listen, if you get in debt, you're supposed to pay that thing off. Amen? And listen, this man right here, he had nothing. I mean, he had no way of paying for this thing. And this king, here's what the king owed this man. He owed him to make him pay off that debt. This king was absolutely right to make this guy pay off what he owed. He didn't owe him anything. The king didn't owe this man anything. This man, what he deserved was to have to be sold into slavery, to be put in bondage. He deserved to have to pay off his debt for the rest of his life. He deserved to lose everything that he had. Why? He owed a debt. He owed a debt. But look at verse 27. Look what the king does. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him. Boy, those words are powerful right there. Loosed him. He was in bondage. He was set free. And forgave him the debt. So the king was moved with compassion for the servant. He had pity on him in his desperate condition. And no doubt the king considered the life of this man, and he must have thought about his wife and his children. And with that, the king did a marvelous thing. The king loosed the man and forgave him the debt of 10,000 talents that this man owed. And the servant was no longer accountable for his debt. It was completely erased. What a picture we see of the mercy and forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we see. He alone has the authority to forgive our sin debt. He alone has the power to pardon the sin that separates us from God. Isn't it amazing what the Lord did for us? We read this passage here and we're thinking, boy, can you imagine the compassion that this king must have had to give this man, I mean, 10,000 talents. I mean, think about this. If somebody owed you $111 million, would you say, well, just don't worry about it, write it off. Just don't worry about it. Most people would hold us accountable if we owed them 10 bucks. They would ride us until the end of time for 10 bucks, amen? But here, 10,000 talents, and the king says, you know what, just forget about it. You don't owe it anymore. And we say, boy, what grace, what mercy. Yeah, that's what we see there. But can you imagine how much grace and mercy it took for the Lord to forgive the sins of everybody that has called upon him? Do you know how much that is, folks? I mean, when we start thinking about 10,000 talents, I wonder if I could go back and write down, put a little mark on a wall for every time I sinned since I was born. I wonder how many rooms those marks would fill up. And just think about this. The Lord says, all that you owed for all that, it's all taken care of. It's all gone. And we think this king here was really merciful is a picture of the true mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we know that there's only one way to be reconciled to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. But what an amazing thing that Jesus Christ did for us. God did not have to send his son to this earth to die for sinners. He did not have to die on the cross for us. But I tell you this, I'm sure glad he did. Amen. I'm sure glad he did. So this servant here, he certainly had been forgiven much. And you would think that his life would have never been the same. I mean, you would think it would have changed this man to where, you know, he just woke up every day and say, boy, I'm thankful that this king forgave me of my debt, because I could just imagine, you know, if he had thought right, every morning that he woke up, he'd say, you know what, everything I have is because of that king. If it wasn't for that king, I wouldn't have my family, I wouldn't have my kids, I wouldn't have the home that I have, I wouldn't have anything. If it wasn't for that king, I would be sold into slavery right now and I'd be a bond servant. I'd be in bondage. If it wasn't for that king, I'd be paying a debt that I could never repay until the last breath I took. I owe everything to the king. Amen? I mean, wouldn't that be the way he should act? That's the way every Christian should act. That's the way every Christian should think. Every morning we should wake up and say, I am so thankful that my sins are forgiven. I'm so thankful that I'm going to heaven one day. I'm so thankful that the Lord showed me grace when I didn't deserve it, when I deserved hell, when I deserved to have to pay for my sins in hell. God forgave me my sins, all of my sins. He had mercy upon me. And because of that, everything I have today, including my future, is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way every Christian should think, folks. That's the reason that Bible says for us to be thankful is the will of God. Because we should be thankful. Now, you'd think that this servant here would be thankful. And you'd think that this servant here would be thankful for what the king did for him. But I want you to notice here the response of this servant. Because it certainly is not what you would expect from somebody who was forgiven such a great debt. After the way he'd been shown mercy, after the way he'd been forgiven. Look at verse 28. It says, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And so the servant went out. He found a servant who owed him 100 pence. Now remember, this servant, the unmerciful servant, owed 10,000 talents. But he goes out and he finds this one servant that owes him 15 pence. Now, 15 pence would be equivalent of $15 today, U.S. Now, he had been forgiven something that equates to, you know, if it's gold, it's in the billions. If it's silver, it's in the millions. But this person basically owes him the equivalent of $15 today. And he says, I want you to pay it to me right now. Now, I want you to think about this before we move on. This man had been forgiven much, much. But when it comes to this person over here who only owes him just a little bit, he's not willing to forgive the same way. And he says, I want you to pay it. I want you to pay what you owe. There's no comparison in the debts of these two that they owed. And yet the unmerciful servant took this man by the throat and demanded him pay it immediately. And basically, he soon forgot the enormous amount of forgiveness that he got, the debts that he owed. There's a great lesson for us here too. And I want you to get this. The unmerciful servant owed 500, or well, he owed so much more than what this other, his servant owed. The unmerciful servant owed so much more to the king than what this servant owed him, that while the king forgave the unmerciful servant of a larger amount than what this tiny debt that was owed to this unmerciful servant. May I remind you that the wrongs that we have done to the Lord are far more than anybody who has wronged us. Okay? I want you to think about that. This servant here, the unmerciful servant, had been forgiven 10,000 talents worth. Tons. Something he couldn't even repay. Not even close to it. He had been forgiven that. But then this servant, he finds this servant over here who owes him just a small amount. And he's saying, I'm not going to forgive you over that little amount, even though I was forgiven here an amount so large that I couldn't repay. You know what this is showing you, folks? It's showing you just how wrong it is for us as Christians who've been forgiven for so much not to forgive somebody who has wronged us. Why? Because that person who has wronged us, I don't care what he's done to you. I don't care. It is small potatoes compared to what you've done and the transgressions that you've had against the Lord Jesus Christ. Small potatoes. Nobody has ever treated you or me as bad as we've treated the Lord. And here's one for you. That's since you've been saved. Anybody want to challenge that one? Now you think about that. Hey, at least before you got saved, that Bible says that the devil blinds this world. And this, and the Bible says that we cannot discern spiritual things. I'm not saying that a lost person today gets a free pass. I'm not saying that. I mean, he's accountable for the debt that he owes. No doubt about that. But a lost person doesn't know what you know. A lost person is spiritually discerned. A lost person can't understand the scriptures except for being reproved of sin, righteous, and judgment by the Holy Spirit of God. He doesn't know. He's been blinded by the world, even though he still owes a sin debt. But you know things that lost people don't know. Has that stopped you from sinning against the Lord? I mean, you think about this. Can you imagine if one of these days, and I don't know how it's going to go. I mean, we can speculate all day long. Here's what we do know. We know that one of these days we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen? Now, how that whole thing's going to work out, I don't know. I don't know if the Lord's going to have a big screen up there and he's going to show your entire life since you got saved. I hope not. I hope not. I hope he just says, you know what? All that stuff you didn't do for me, it's gone. Poof, it's gone. And all the stuff you did do for me, then you know, it'll last and remain forever. I hope it goes that simple. But can you imagine if the Lord showed the things that you've done to him since you got saved? How many of you would be looking forward to that judgment seat? That includes thoughts, by the way. That includes the things that you should have done that you didn't do. And the things that you did that you shouldn't have done. And that includes the times that you worried and didn't have faith. That includes the times that you went against your convictions that the Holy Spirit of God gave you, because after all, the Bible says if you go against your convictions, then what you're doing is not in faith, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. We'd be up there a long, I know this, I'd be up there forever. I can just imagine all y'all sitting back there waiting to go in to be judged, and you're like, man, Bob's been in there a long time. Amen. That's just since I've been saved. Everybody in here could say the same thing. Amen. But here's the thing. When you receive Jesus Christ, you receive forgiveness for all of it. People say, nah, that's just past sins. No, wait a second. If the Lord died on the cross 2,000 years ago, that means everything he died for Bob Crowder was all future. That's right. There were no past sins. I wasn't alive before the Lord died on the cross. So he died for all sins. I've been forgiven of all of them. If I've been forgiven of all my sins, to include the ones that I've committed since I've been saved, how dare me not forgive this guy who's done me wrong, and we say, that's so horrible. Well, that's just $15 worth. That's all that is. Yes, Pastor, you just don't understand what he's done. Yeah, but that's small potatoes compared to what I did for the Lord. How dare me not forgive somebody after the Lord forgave me? That's what this parable is teaching. Remember, Peter comes up and said, Lord, how many times am I supposed to forgive somebody? I mean, after all, these people are doing me wrong all the time. Lord, give me a number. And the Lord says, not seven times, 70 times seven. You know what I can just imagine? I imagine the Lord thinking to himself, Peter, you have no idea how many sins that you're going to be forgiven once I die on that cross. I'll tell you this, folks, have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about when the Lord took upon your sins that he knew every one of them? When the Lord went to that cross, he knew every sin that Bob Crowder ever committed, and he died for them. I don't know which one that hurts me worse, the fact that he died for them or he knew what they were. You ever think about that? Listen. That's what he did. He forgave all those things, all those the sin debt for that unmerciful servant. But the unmerciful servant was not willing to forgive the small amount that the servant owed him. Look at verse 29. And it says, the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. Notice he says the same thing to him as the unmerciful servant said to the king. Same words. Fell down and worshipped him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. By the way, this man probably could pay it. But the unmerciful servant was unable to pay his debt. And so he pled for mercy, he was willing to repay the debt. And unlike the prior debt, the servant here was able to pay it. And he just needed a little time, he just needed a little compassion, he just needed a little cooperation. Have there ever been some times when somebody has wronged you and asked for forgiveness? And they knew that there was a debt that needed to be settled with you, that they knew there was something that needed to be made right, and they just need a little compassion. They just need a little bit of help. The question is how did you respond? Were you demanding and saying, you know what, you've done me wrong, and I just don't know if I can forgive you? And were you nasty to them? Or did you treat them like the Lord treats you? His fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Look at verse 30. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Unlike the king that showed this servant mercy, the servant decided to show no mercy to others. He had been forgiven for much, but was unwilling to forgive for little. So he cast this man into prison until the debt was paid. And I want you to see that this man here was punished for his failure to meet his obligation. You know, it's easier to condemn the actions of others when we fail to realize what the Lord has done for us. It's easy for us to look at somebody else and say, what that person did was terrible. I'm not saying that we shouldn't judge the sin. We are supposed to judge the sin. But the problem is that sometimes we go too far and we start to say, that person right there, he's a real piece of work. He's a real piece of garbage. Now, wait a second. We all make mistakes. And I'll tell you this, before you start looking at somebody else and calling them a lowlife and thinking they're lower than dirt, maybe we ought to take a look at ourselves too and say, okay, how am I before the Lord? May I tell you, even the most spiritual person in this room, that Bible says our works are as filthy rags before the Lord. I mean, think about this, folks. When we compare ourselves, we're not supposed to compare ourselves to somebody else. That's an easy, cheap, cowardly way of doing it. Why? I could pick somebody in this world that's worse than me. There ain't a whole lot. Ain't a whole lot of people, but I'll find somebody that's worse than me, and so can you. Problem is, it's really easy for us to do that. We say, boy, compared to that guy right there, I'm a saint. That's what we like to say. Or that person there, I mean, he's a lowlife, not me. Yeah, but what are you compared to a person that's absolutely holy and sinless? How are you compared to Jesus Christ? Because after all, every person will be compared to him. That's the reason when we all stand before the throne, everybody has their time before the throne. You know why? Because when you stand before him, then you find out who you're compared to. And when you stand before him, you better make sure that you're in Christ. Amen? Because if you don't, then you're going to have to pay that debt. And so we see here the response of the unmerciful servant. Now, I want you to look at the third thing, and that is the punishment of the unmerciful servant. Notice the unmerciful servant here is brought back before the king to account for his actions. Look at verse 31. It says, so when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. So with the news of this atrocity, the king calls for the servant to be brought before him. The unmerciful servant stands before the king. The king reminds him of the debt that he owed. It's likely that the king reminded him of this servant could not have paid his debt. That this servant stood no chance had he not been forgiven. And maybe he reminded him of the compassion that was shown on him only because this servant wanted pity and cried for mercy. You know, and I think the Lord would have us reminded this morning of the forgiveness that each one of us have received from him. There's not a child of God here today who has not been forgiven of all of our sins and who have not been pardoned of all of our sins. And we have all been set free by the Lord. And he did that to us. Why? Because we just simply asked him to. The way you got saved, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's how you got forgiven. You called upon him. It's like that, you know, when the Lord spoke of the Pharisee that comes down and, you know, he's saying, Lord, I'm thankful I'm not like that guy. And the other guy comes down and he says, God, forgive me, a sinner. That's the way we were. We owed a debt we couldn't pay, and all we could do is plead to the Lord for mercy, and that's what we did when we called upon him. And just like that, he forgave us. No questions asked, no strings attached. He just forgave us. We've been forgiven much. The servant had been forgiven much, but the servant didn't give the same forgiveness. And so the king says in verse 33, he says, "Shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" In other words, the king was saying, I showed mercy and I forgave you, and because of that, you should be thankful enough for what I did for you that you should go and show mercy to somebody else. Here's what Ephesians 4:32 says. It says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You know why you should forgive a person? Because God forgave you. And listen, there should be no strings attached. Now, I'm not saying that you got to like them. I'm not saying that you have to trust them. Listen, if somebody did you wrong and they stole money from you, don't leave your wallet out in front of them anymore. I mean, the Lord gave us a head. He gave us a noggin. He gave us a brain to think with. Amen? So if a person has stolen from you, I probably wouldn't leave money sitting on the table. But you're still supposed to forgive them. People think that forgiveness means forgetting. You're probably never going to forget the wrongs that somebody did to you, but you are supposed to forgive them. And that's a choice. That's a choice. And you say, why? Because the Lord forgave us. Maybe you need to forgive somebody this morning. And maybe you have resentment toward somebody this morning. Maybe you need to get that settled. Now look at verse 34. It says, "And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Because of his unwillingness to forgive a small matter, the servant was cast into prison until the debt was paid." There would be no more mercy. There would be no more pardon. Every penny of the debt had to be paid in full. And this unmerciful servant lived in a life of bondage until he was willing to forgive. Because he was unwilling to forgive. Now, when you read this passage, there's a tendency for somebody to say, well, this is obviously teaching that you could lose your salvation if you don't forgive somebody. Well, I will tell you this, you can't lose your salvation today. You can't. You say, well, then what can we possibly get from this then? If you today, you know, if you're saved and you've been forgiven of all your sins, which you have if you're saved, and somebody has done you wrong and you choose not to forgive that person, do you realize the bondage that you're going to be put in if you choose not to forgive them? Now, I'm just going to throw out some things to you. What's going to happen to you if you do not forgive a person today as a Christian? Number one, you're not going to be in fellowship with the Lord. Why? Because the Lord knows whether or not you're going to forgive that person, and it's God's will for you to forgive that person. It tells you right there in Ephesians 4:32 that we're supposed to be tenderhearted and forgive somebody because Christ forgave us. Amen? Now, if you refuse to do what's right, then you're breaking fellowship with the Lord. And if you break fellowship with the Lord, then you're not going to be blessed as a Christian. And if you continue to break fellowship with the Lord and don't get right, then the Lord will chasten you. So obviously, if you refuse to forgive somebody today after the debt that you've been forgiven, then things aren't going to work out well for you no more than it worked out well for that unmerciful servant. But it gets worse. If you also choose not to forgive somebody, do you realize how much in bondage you're going to be to what that person did to you? Every time you hear that person's name, you're going to remember what he did to you, and it's going to eat you alive. Every time you see that person's face, you're going to feel the hair stand up on the back of your neck, and your head's going to turn all red. Well, at least mine does. And you're going to get all irritated. Why? Because of what that person did for you. Did to you. Do you realize what? And here's the thing. People today are holding grudges, and the people they hold grudges against don't even realize that there's a grudge being held. And so they're walking around happy as a lark, and you're just sitting there miserable because you won't forgive the guy. That's what we do to ourselves. You say, why? Why should I forgive him? Why? I mean, you, Pastor, you just don't understand what this person did to me. I can't forgive him. I mean, the Lord says we're supposed to forgive 7 times 70. I can't even forgive him one time. You don't understand what he did to me. You just don't understand the horrible atrocities he did to me. I don't. I really don't. I don't understand it. I don't know it all. But I do know this. I do know the horrible atrocities that I did to Christ, and I know it was my sins that put him on the cross. I know that. And I know that he went through a whole lot more for me than I ever went for anybody else. And I know I owed a whole lot more to him. And I know I've transgressed against him far more than anybody's ever transgressed against me. That's what I do know. And the same is true for you too. How horrible is it for Christians of all people, to not forgive what others have done to them? How horrible is that? It's pretty hard sell for a Christian to say, you know, I'm thankful the Lord saved me. I'm going to heaven. You're not very thankful if you're not willing to forgive somebody else. Why? Because we've been forgiven for everything, folks. I mean, everything. And everything you have is because the Lord allowed you to have it. Again, you hear me say it every Sunday. You may not realize that right now. But there's a time coming when we get on the other side of glory, and you're going to see everything that's been given to you. Oh, by the way, you get to heaven, you get it all. Amen?
Amen.
And you're going to stand there and he's like, wow, look at this. And I can just imagine the Lord saying, yep, you have everything here because of what I did for you. Do you realize this morning that the very reason that you can say I'm going to heaven is because of what the King did for you? The reason you're able to see your loved ones in heaven again, because of what the King did for you. The reason that you'll not ever have the smoke of hell even upon your clothes is because of what the King did for you. If he hadn't have done what he did for you, you'd have a debt that you could never pay. And you'd have to pay it forever and ever and ever and ever. And because he forgave us, we need to forgive others. Amen?
Amen.